My guest at this time is Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Mike Kelly, a freshman from the Keystone State's 3rd Congressional District. And he joins me now to talk about one of the major debates that's unfolded in the U.S. Congress this week and probably will over the next several weeks as well. And that's what to do about the payroll tax reductions that were installed last year at about this time and whether they should be extended. And if so, how will they be paid for? Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Greg, great to be with you, too. And last year at this time, I was actually still running my small business back in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I have a real good feel for payroll taxes. And I think one of the biggest things for most folks when they start their job, they look at their paycheck and they say, hey Mike, I thought you agreed to pay me a lot more than this. I said, well, you're looking at the wrong side of the check. Go back to the left side and we can show you where the deductions come in. They say, what are they taking out for? And you start to tell them. And then it becomes an awareness on that. And then the other part I always add in is, now, that's just your share. Also, I put in too. So payroll taxes are an important thing. And I think that's one thing that both Republicans and Democrats agree on. This would be a bad time to take money out of people's pockets when they're stretching so hard and trying to make the most of what they have and doing more with less, which we've asked a lot of people to do. On the other hand, though, I think that we agree with the president that we also agree with him very strongly on something else, and that is you never raise taxes during a recession. So we've got to find a way to find spending cuts that make sense, that pay for this, so that it doesn't add further a burden to us.
One of the things we've heard in terms of news reports that Republicans are advancing is that perhaps government programs or government workers might be one of the areas where you could reduce some spending. Is that accurate? And if so, how specific can you get about where in the government that would come from?
Yeah, no, I can't get real specific because, honestly, I don't have the specifics myself. We've talked about it. I think one of the things, freezing pay levels at a certain rate, and I think there's a general understanding in the public that, you know, when you look at the public sector versus the private sector, that the public sector has been doing much, much better than the private sector. And so, you know what? I know in my business, we had to freeze. We couldn't increase pace because we just didn't have the revenue to cover it. And in the government situation, you certainly can't keep raising pays. You have to freeze them because our revenues actually come out of the pockets of hardworking American families, and it's all tax revenue. So I think what we're looking at is, you know, keeping the freeze on as people retire and move on through attrition. You wouldn't rehire them right now. And again, what I think Washington needs to do is the same thing we ask all America to do. Live within your means. Learn to do more with less. And take a look at where you can make cuts. And certainly waste, fraud, and abuse in some programs are number one on the hit parade. And we're looking at it. We're studying it very closely. The one thing we don't want to do, we don't want to do something that makes people feel good temporarily and then adds years and years of tax increases to them. Because we know that, and you know this too, Greg, very shortly, the current Bush tax cuts will fall away and the Obama tax increases will hit. And when you look at the metrics of that, my gosh, that starts to go off the table, and the trajectory of it scares a lot of people, especially small business people like myself, that it's more of a burden on us to keep the lights on and the doors open.
I've talked to a number of your colleagues in the last couple of weeks about this issue, and one of them, actually probably more than one of them, have said that obviously we want the American people to have as much money in their pockets as can be arranged for. But at the same time, they say this tax is different because this doesn't go to fund a variety of government programs. It goes to fund Social Security. And while it may be helpful to some extent to have this money in the pocket, in the end, it is taking money away from a Social Security system that already has a trust fund that they see as an illusion. Are you worried about that as well, or is just one kind of outweigh the other at the moment?
No, listen, again, I would agree with my classmates and my colleagues, and being in small business, as I said earlier, I get that. I understand it. What we're trying to do is find cuts that we can pay for this through cuts. And you and I both know, the Social Security, the trust fund itself, now when you talk to the trust fund people, they'll tell you, the only thing we have in the box, now it was never a lockbox, it was actually just a manila folder that I was holding IOUs from the federal government. We spent that money. We spent it, and now we're saying, well, we're going to put it back when you need it. But unfortunately, the number of people working towards the number of people on the sidelines now, there's not as many people working now to put in to cover the people that are on the sidelines that are drawing out. Now, these people put in for years, and I understand that. But the metrics don't work, and we've got to means test some things. We've got to look at where it is that we can start thinking about this in the right way. And it's the old story, you know, you measure twice, you cut once. You can only spend a dollar one time, so figure out where it's going to have the best impact. I think we can get there. I don't think there's any question in my mind of the folks that I work with every day. And when I listen to Speaker Boehner today and Leader Cantor, I think they're looking at the right things. And they listened to a lot of input from the members as to how they think we could get there. And it all came down to operating the government at a smaller size, using less money, and doing the same thing we've asked American families to do. So we can get there. I mean, we really have to do is take a look at how we're going to pay for this without putting a further burden on ourselves today with increased taxes or our kids down the road with more debt.
Just a couple quick questions. I heard the voting buzzers go off, so I know you've got to run. But real quickly, first of all, the Democrats in the Senate obviously want to pay for this by raising taxes on millionaires. So even if you can figure out where to cut, do you sense that there's going to be a consensus with the other side of the Hill?
You know what? I would have a difficult time thinking. I've watched them. I mean, my gosh, this is a group that can't get a budget off the table to even discuss it. I think they pretty much dug their heels in, and their mantra is going to be, that 1% has to pay more. And when I talk to people, everybody thinks they're in the 99%. There's nobody that thinks they're in the 1%. So I don't like the messaging, and I would hope that the president would start to be a unifier instead of a divider. I just think it's incumbent upon him right now to bring both parties together and forget about his reelection, at least for the time being, and let's make sure we get through this crisis and we'll get to the next. And if he would really handle this crisis right, he wouldn't have to worry about reelection.
And finally, sir, just your reaction real quickly as a small business owner to the jobs report today. Unemployment down to 8.6%, 120,000 jobs created, but hundreds of thousands leaving the workforce. The labor participation rate down to 64%. So overall, what's your read?
Well, you know, on one part it makes you feel good, and the other part, when you really look at the small print, which, you know, I'm an automobile dealer, and the one thing I always looked at with everything was read the small print, and how did they get to that monthly payment? Because it's $199 a month, but how many months do I have to make payments on? How much money down do I have to have, and what's the APR? So on this one, while the 8.6 is encouraging, the fact that 300,000 Americans decide, I'm not even going to look for a job anymore, there's nothing out there for me, there's another 15 million out there that really feel that they're underemployed, and they're looking for somehow to ratchet their lives up a little bit. We have to get this economy back on track. The only way we can do it is by enabling the real job creators, which are the small business people, to have some confidence in the future, Greg. And I think that's what we have to do. I know what I do for a living. When I talk to people on the floor, they want to buy a car. But, you know, they're not sure about the next 36 months if they can make that payment, or the next 48 months if they can make that payment. And they're saying, you know what, I'd love to buy a car right now, but I don't know what's going to happen. And it's the not knowing that keeps us from moving on, and we've got to give them some certainty that out of this town, we're going to start to act with common sense and make their future more secure.
Congressman, we'll let you do your job. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Greg. God bless now.
Pennsylvania Congressman Mike Kelly, Republican representing his state's 3rd Congressional District, longtime small business owner in Northwest Pennsylvania. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.